Today we're going to speak to some topic connected a little bit to Parsha Shmini, which talks a little bit about the Inyanim of Kashrus, at least part of the Parsha. So we're going to try to have a little overview in the short time that we have to the topic of Bishul Akum, the very Lamaisa topic of Bishul Akum. Before we get into the Halacha Lamaisa aspects of it, and we don't have so much time to speak about the Lamdas behind it, we're going to be focused on the Halacha Lamaisa. I'd just like to do one source of background regarding many Halachos in this area. Look at source number one. It's from the Sefer Pisachei Halacha, Rabbi Forst. His English Sefer, I think it was more famous, Inyanim of Kashrus, but first he had a smaller, more skinny Sefer, Hilchos Kashrus, which he expanded into the English Sefer. So there he has a Hagdama to Halachas related to Bishul Akum and Chol of Yisrael and Pas Akum and all that set of Halachos. And he writes as follows in source number one. Kasuv b'Torah HaKadosha Odos Klal Yisrael Heim Am L'Vadad Yishkon V'Agoyim Lo Yischashav. Says in the Torah that Klal Yisrael are a separate nation. Klomar Yisrael Hu Uma L'Vada V'Einim B'Sarev Es Inchar Hu Umos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Am Yisrael to be a separate nation, not intermixing with other nations. Tachlisam Shel B'nei Yisrael Lios Muvdalim. The Tachlis, the ultimate purpose of Klal Yisrael is to be separate. Our ultimate goal, our ultimate purpose in life is to be separate. Then they will reach their goal of being, he writes, the pasuk from Sefer Shmos, and in that way we'll be able to be mashpia on the entire nation. Continuing in the middle of line 4, Abakozman Shadvekim Bagoyim, Lodai She'ena Mashpiyim Matova Al Hagoyim, Ela Adaraba Mushpaim Lara Mehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that there was supposed to be one nation, the Mamlechas Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh, who's supposed to be a light unto all the other nations. And if that purpose is not fulfilled, that we not only hurt ourselves, we are not fulfilling our purpose of being a Mamlechas Kohanim, but we as well are hurting the world, because we are not being that inspiration, we are not being that separate nation, the light unto the nations. Therefore, skipping a couple of lines where it says Oz Dalet at the beginning of the line, Nimsa Shekirvas Yisrael Leumos Mazika Lahem VeLaOlam VeGam LeUlos HaOlam BaAtzmam. When the Jews and the non-Jews, when we are Mitzarevim Im HaUmos, say Chazal, it says Rabbi Forrest based on Chazal, this hurts everybody. It hurts Am Yisrael and it hurts the Umos HaOlam. And therefore, Al Keno say Tava Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Tchunos Umos HaOlam She'inim Sovli Kirvasenu. Again, another approach to anti-Semitism, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put it into the Bria, Esav Soni LeYaakov, that there can't be a his arvus, there can't be a mixing. Many times throughout history, as many have said before, ultimately, there's a mixture, but ultimately, Bnei Yisrael are left as a separate nation. Rav Chaim Volozhin once said, if the Jew doesn't make Kiddush, the other nations make Havdalah. So that's up to us. We're going to be separate anyway. But the question is, Kiddush or Havdalah? Rabbi Forrest says that's part of the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Teva of the Bria that Am Yisrael should be a Mamlechas Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh one way or the other. That's the Teva. With this background, we can now approach the Dinim D'Rabbanan. Dinim D'Araisa, there are many halachos that are meant to separate the Jews from the non-Jews, but Chazal, the Tanaim, added on a number of other halachos which are meant to keep our distance, to keep the Jews and the non-Jews separate. And the source for that is the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah in source number 2 tells us, Mas Nisan, the Elu Dvarim Shel Ovdei Kochavim Asurin, the Ein Yisurin Isur Hanah. The Mishnayos there have a list, various lists. The following are Asur Bahana, even Asur from getting pleasure from. The following are only Asur Ba'achila. Various lists. So on that list, which is a very Lamaisa list, the following are Asur to eat, but not Asur Bahana. And these are all Yisurei Durabanan. Chalav Shechel Ba'ovid Kochavim De'en Yisrael Ro'ehu. That one line is the whole source for the discussion of Chalav Yisrael, which is not our topic today. But Chalav that a non-Jew milks and Yisrael is not watching. V'hapas, and the bread of a non-Jew, what's called pas akum, again, eating entomins. That's not today's discussion either, but just to know that there is a discussion. V'hashemen shalahem, oil, we never heard of that one. We've heard of pas akum, we've heard of chalav Yisrael, chalav Yisrael. Rebbe Yisrael hitir hashemen. Okay, we haven't heard of it, because even in the times of the Tanoim, that one didn't catch on. Rebbe Yisrael already said, you don't have to worry about the shemen. V'hashilakos. Oh, that's the one that's important for us. Shlakos means cooked foods. cooked foods. Rebbe, and in the times of the Mishnah, they were gozer on chalav and pas and shlakos and on cooked foods, etc. And the Mishnah continues. These were all asur ba'achila mizarabanan. The question is, what are the reasons for all of this? The Mishnah doesn't tell us the reasons. So each one of them, the Gemara discusses, they are not exactly the same. There are various halachos of pas Yisrael. There are various halachos of Chalav Yisrael. And there are various halachas of Bishul Yisrael. So today we're going to speak about the third one, Bishul Yisrael. Why did the Tanaim create this whole parsha of Bishul Akum, that if a non-Jew cooks something, I am forbidden to eat it? So Rashi on the Mishnah tells us, in source number 3, the Hashalakos, called Davar Shebishlu Obed Kachavim, Va'afilu Bechli Tahar. Rashi says this has nothing to do with treif. This has nothing to do with that we're worried that the non-Jew is going to put something kosher, not kosher, into the food. That's not it. I could be in my house watching my non-Jewish cleaning lady make something for me with my ingredients, with my kalim. I could be watching it. She does it from start to finish. It's still asur ba'afila. It has nothing to do with a chashash that they put in a non-kosher ingredient. V'kulhu mishum chasnus. Says Rashi, it's all about chasnus, another part of the halachos, which is meant to separate the Jews and the non-Jews. If they're able to cook for us, our neighbors will say, why don't you come over tonight for supper, and tomorrow you'll come to me for supper. And the food items are where humans get together, they go out to lunch, buy a business deal, they go out, I'll just eat salad. That's where we meet, that's where we schmooze. We schmooze over eating. So that's why Chazal Dafka targeted different food items in order to separate us and to make sure that we're not mizdamim lahem and we're not mitareg and we don't mix. Chasnus means marriage, literally. Ultimately, that we don't get so close to each other that we befriend each other and we ultimately come that our children, Rahman al-Islam, will come to marry their children. That's chasnus, but it means the mixing itself. From the word chasnus is from the word chasana, from the word wedding. That is the ikar reason, the main reason of Bishul Akum. There is another Rashi which is discussed in source number 4. There's a Gemara in Daf Lamed Ches in Avodah Zarah that seems to quote a pasuk for the basis of this, which we assume is an asmachta. It's just a hint in the Torah for this halacha. It is not daraisa at all. But Rashi there quotes a line somewhat different than what he says on the Mishnah. In source number 4, Rashi says, Shelo yeh midrabanan, shelo yehe Yisrael ragil etzlo, so that the Yisrael is not normal and common to his neighbor non-Jew, b'ma'achalu b'mishteh, with eating and drinking. And then Rashi adds, v'ya'achilenu davar tameh. In other words, and he might feed him a non-kosher product. So this Rashi sounds very different than the Rashi on the Mishnah. Sounds like, you know, we're worried about the non-Jew putting something non-kosher in. Generally, we assume that's not the reason. Generally, we assume the reason is how Rashi and the Mishnah, it has nothing to do with something non-kosher. So what is this Rashi talking about? So just one idea that I saw in the first Masorah journal, Masorah Chelek Aleph. Now there's about 20. First Masorah journal, Rabbi Ganak suggests that maybe the idea is that there's a difference between, whenever we have a gzeira d'rabbanan or a takana d'rabbanan, there's a difference between the motivation why the rabbanan made such a takana versus the nature of the takana itself. Maybe, Rabbi Ganak suggests, the reason that Chazal made this takana is how Rashi says on the Mishnah. And that is because we're worried about chasnus, we're worried about intermarriage, we're worried about the mixing of the cultures. Yet, once that was the motivation, the nature of the takana, Chazal gave it the status of non-kosher food. That's what Rashi means in Rashi and Daf Lamed Ches. It's a little difficult to put into the words. But that's what Rabbi Ganak suggested, how to put these two Rashis together. Again, the motivation of the takana was Mishum Chasus, because we're worried about potential intermarriage. But Chazal gave it the status of Davar Tameh, of non-kosher food. That was the nature of the takana. Maybe that's what Rashi means in Daf Lamed Ches, to put the two Rashis together. It's a little difficult because the words are b'yachilenu davar tameh, but that's his suggestion.
Is the reason for that chasnus is not enough to keep us away from it?
But by other halachos, chasnus seems to be enough. So, maybe if you just take these two Rashis in a vacuum,
we should be more worried about the kashrus than about the chasnus.
Right, the lechinami, that seems to be more of a kshash. But the question is, then what does he mean on the Mishnah, mishum chasnus? Okay, so now, this is all the background. So now the question is, so, lemaisa. So what happens? Let's say somebody has a babysitter at home with kids. Babysitter can't make anything. She can't warm anything up in the microwave. You know, what do you do? Let's say there's an elderly person who has a helper that lives with them. Oh, that was with them, and she makes all the food for them. What? They're violating this drabbanon. Every time they make something, is there anything? Let's say I go into a Starbucks and somebody makes me a coffee behind the counter. They're making me the coffee. So is that a problem? Is there something that we should be worried about? So this gets us into the crux of the shir. There are three major requirements for the Isser of Bishul Akum, and I require all three for it to be Isser. If I don't have any one of the following three, then it's going to be mutter. Any one of the hetirim stands on its own. So we're going to discuss these three, and then after the three, we're going to discuss various miscellaneous shilas that comes up in Bishul Akum. So first, let's discuss the three main requirements. Number one, Eino me'echal kamos shehu chai. The halacha is, and we'll see this in the Shulchan Aruch in a few minutes, Bishul Akum only applies to a food that cannot be eaten raw, uncooked. If I am able to eat the food or drink the drink without it being prepared or cooked, there is no Isser of Bishul Akum. And the svara is as follows. The whole Isser of Bishul Akum is that I'm worried that they're going to prepare something for me and they actually do something for me. But if it's already cooked, if it doesn't need cooking, if I can eat it or drink it as is, Chazal never intended there's a gzera to be on that type of food. So for example, water. Anaju was allowed to boil water up for me. Why? Because I could drink the water cold. It's not chashuv what they're doing, so they boil the water up for me. It's 100% mutter. Baked apple, you can eat an apple raw. So they make the apple for me, it's fine, it's mutter. That is the first requirement. Eino nechal kamo shehu chai. If it's nechal kamo shehu chai, nechal chai means raw. If it could be eaten raw, then it is mutter. So this helps us and solves a few of the foods that it wouldn't be subject to. Yeah?
When we say bishul, do you mean bishul amish or preparation?
Oh, Bishul. We need Bishul. They're allowed to cut anything up for you. They're allowed to... we're going to get to various types of Bishul that come up. What about Bishul, which is discussed in Yoredeya terms? What about smoking? What about a microwave? We have to talk about other things. But Bishul means Bishul, yeah. So this is the first requirement. It has to be a food that's not eaten raw. The interesting Aruch HaShulchan in source number 5. The Aruch HaShulchan tells us, what about if I have different eating habits than the rest of the world? Let's say I like eating something raw, or I don't like eating something raw, and I'm different than everybody else. So are there rules and regulations? The Aruch HaShulchan says you go by rove of the people in that town. Source number 6, the Aruch HaShulchan writing 100 years ago, Davar Pashut Hu, Dele'inyan Davar She'ino Nechal Kamo Shehu Chai, Ochen Acha Rov B'nei Adam. You go by the majority of people. Dim HaRov Einam Ochle Machal Zeh Kamo Shehu Chai. If most people don't eat it raw, Av Sheha Yachid Ochlo, even if this person likes to eat it raw, he likes to eat raw potatoes. Now carrots, I assume, you know, that there's a large majority, large percentage already that eats it raw. But other foods, let's say that's really not eaten raw, so then even if I eat it raw, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it doesn't matter. I eat it raw, so I can have my cleaning lady prepare it, or I can have my babysitter prepare it. No, it doesn't work that way. Your batel, batla daito, your das is nullified to the majority. And the same way the other way, lakula. Im harov ochlan zek shu chai, I'm the middle of source 5. If most people eat it raw, asha yachat eno ochla ochlo, my father's allergic to certain raw fruits. So, but just because he has to get them cooked, so does that make it that it's also for Bishul Akum? No, most people eat it raw, so therefore it would be lakula. Aruch HaShulchan does say that if you have different countries, where you have different customs in different countries, you have America and Japan, and in certain countries they eat it raw, in certain countries not, so maybe there could be different halachos in different countries. But in terms of having a yachid in a certain country, you go by the rove. Something that is very halacha l'maisa, and that is, this might change over time. There's a certain type of food that we used to not eat raw, and now many people do eat it raw.
Sushi.
Sushi. So the sushi restaurants have really seemed to change the halacha, because now a lot of people eat fish raw. So the halacha, so Bishul Akum, obviously the halacha never changes. The principles of the halacha are always steadfast. They always stay the same. Just the applications might change based on the different actions and behaviors that people do. So nowadays, because many people eat fish raw, then there's a good chance that there might not be Bishul Akum by certain fishes because they could be eaten raw. But that is the first principle of Bishul Akum. Anything that could be eaten without the cooking is mutter. So that helps us with water and apples, but we're still stuck with macaroni, we're still stuck with eggs, we're still stuck with meat. You know, none of that is eaten raw. So do you have any saving grace by those? That's number one. Sorry?
Steak, tartar.
Okay, but in general, I think the majority, there is some, and there is also certain health issues, which most people wouldn't eat raw steak. So even though there is some, you could get it prepared like that, but I would think that's more of a minority. Okay, number two, the second requirement that you need for it to be usher is what's called Ola al Shulchan Malachim. It goes up on a king's table. Ola al shulchan malachim. This is the most difficult requirement to pin down exactly how to define it. It basically means it has to be a chashev food. Served at a wedding, served at a smorgasbord, served on the table of royalty. Again, the svara to this is, the Rambam writes in source number 7, says the Rambam, when do you say that there's a concept of bishul akum, v'darvashu ola al shulchan malachim, le'echol bolos hapas, a chashev type of food, to gon basa or beitzim, v'dagam v'chayotzi bahem, meat, eggs, fish, but if it's not a chashev type of food, le'echol bolos hapas, gon turbisin, a certain type of beans, sheshoko son akum, even though they can't be eaten raw, but because they're not a chash of food, if we can define it, it's hard to define it, but if we can define it as a non-chash of food, it's not ola al shulchan malachim, the halacha will be it's not subject to bishul akum. Why? Last line in source number 7, she'ikar akzer mishum hasnus. Rabbi writes, what's the whole reason of the isra? Because you're worried that by the fact that they're going to prepare you a food, they're going to invite you over, come over for dinner, and we'll get friendly. So they're going to give you something chashuv. They're not going to serve you beans. They're not going to serve you last week's shalons. They're going to serve you something chashuv. So therefore, the gzera was only chal, only effective on chashuv types of foods defined as ola al shulchan malachim. Finishing the Rambam, Shliyazam Malachim Etzlo B'Suda. The Darvish in Ola Shulchan Malachim Lachol Bo Asapas in Adam Mezamin Es Chaveru Olav. If it's not a chashuv food, we're not worried that the non-Jew is going to invite you over. So it was never included in the original Gzeira, in the original Halacha of Bishul Akum. So this is though difficult to define, and there were discussions in the Achronim about the following two issues. Number one, does this mean this is what is served at the state dinner of the year? Is that Ola Shulchan Malachim, the best foods? What does it mean? As long as it's not really non-chashuv foods. Meaning, what's the rule and what's the exception? It's not clear in the poskim. So, is it that something that President Bush can eat? Is it what he eats at the inauguration dinner? Is it what he eats at his Sunday afternoon football game? It's unclear exactly how to define Ola Shulchan Malachim. But we have to look in the poskim to see what they say about various foods. That's one suffix that the Achronim have. Another suffix that they have is how do you define a food or a food type? For example, potatoes. Are potatoes ola al shulchan malachim or not? We have french fries, we have hash browns, we have mashed potatoes, we have potato chips. There was a whole article in one of the RJJ journals a couple years ago about potato chips. Are they subject to bishul akum? So how do you define a food? Do you define each food type as is prepared? Or do you say that a food is a food? So that again is a suffix in the acronym. Generally, we're makel by this issue. But if we want to just lemaisa figure it out, if it's served at a smorgasbord, so then it's a good bet that it's ola al shulchan malachim and it would be subject to bishul akum. A lot of this is more relevant for the factories, meaning the OU, what kind of hashkachas or mashkichas do they have to have in the factories? Because that's where a lot of the food preparation is done. A lot of it is cooked there. So it's very halacha l'maisa. For example, Rabbi Willig, Rabbi Gannat quotes the Rav as holding that all canned foods are not ola al shulchan malachim. Anything in a can. Anything in a can, you're not going to serve. You're not going to take out the can and put it in the, and serve it at a shulchan malachim. So again, that's not so l'maisa for us, because we buy the food, we buy the string beans, and it's already cooked in the factory. So it's already prior to when we get it. But it's very lamaisa to the factories out in the other parts of the world in the preparation of these foods. You might not need mashgichim to turn on the fire to cook it because it would not be called ola al shulchan malachim. But that is the second rule and regulation of bishul akum. There is, without reading it inside, but in source number 9, Yerach HaShulchan points out that, you know, this also might change over time. At various times in history, he talks about kartoffels, potatoes. So he says, earlier, potatoes weren't such a common food, and not everybody had potatoes. So he says, then it might have been ola al shulchan malachim. He says, but now everybody has potatoes, it's a staple of everybody's diet, we all eat it, so now it's not ola al shulchan malachim. So just because the poskim from 300 years ago might have spoken about a certain food, we always have to make sure we might not be able to mix and match over the generations, in terms of defining ola al shulchan malachim. But that is requirement number 2. Number 1, it has to not be able to be eaten raw. Number 1, ingredient for the isser. Number 2, it has to be ola al shulchan malachim. It has to be chashuv. And finally, the third requirement is in source number 10, bishul akum has to be completely bishul akum. It has to be completely cooked by a non-Jew without a Jew taking part at all in the process of cooking. If the Jew does any part of the process of cooking, and we'll define any part in a minute, so then there is no Isser of Bishul Akum. Says the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeah in source number 10, Kol Shebishulu Yisrael Ma'at Bishulo. If a Jew does any little part of the process, Bein Betchila, Bein Basof, whether at the beginning or at the end, Mutter. It is Mutter, there is not subject to Bishul Akum, because it's not defined as Bishul Akum if a Jew does part of the process. So therefore, if I come back to my house and I see somebody had already put something onto the stove, and I say, "Oy vey, the babysitter did it. I'm lost. It's time to throw it out." Says the Shulchan Aruch, "Don't worry. Laficha im hiniach obikachavim basar kadeira gabi ha'esh. They put the steak on the barbecue. V'hafach yisrael basar meikis v'kadeira. But the Jew comes and turns the steak over, or he stirs the pot. He does some ek megits. We pass in stirring. Right? It's asar on Shabbos. So if it's asar on Shabbos, it's at least going to save us by bishul akum." So if by Bishul Akum we say that if you do any part of the process, or let's say a Jew starts the process, and the non-Jew finishes it, either way, harezeh mutter. Then it is not a problem of Bishul Akum. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. There are, though, various questions that come up. Yes?
Is it one source of all three items, or are you just cutting and pasting?
The Gemara mentions all of these three. The Gemara mentions all these three. It's all in the Shulchan Aruch. I just gave you background information, but it's all in the Shulchan Aruch.
Rabbi, if you put salt on that steak, the way it's grilling a steak outside on fire,
putting salt on it, does that help the cooking process? I'm not sure if that would be good. Just move the steak for a minute. Take a spatula and move it.
But if you put, let's say, a steak sauce on it, which...
The steak sauce, that'll give it a flavor, but does that help the cooking process? It could cook. just move it, I think, a little bit. But a couple of important halachas regarding this principle of a Jew taking part in it. What happens, we know there's a principle in Hilchos Shabbos called Ma'achol Ben Drusoy. I follow this Rashi, the Rambam, whether it's a third cook or a half cooked. But let's say the food has already reached the stage of Ma'achol Ben Drusoy, which we know you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, and even after that there might be Bishul Daraisa. So does it help if I come home and it's ready, almost edible? There's noodles on the fire, assuming that noodles are Ola Al Shulchan Malachim, which is an assumption. But let's assume spaghetti or noodles is Ola Al Shulchan Malachim, and I come home and they're not 100% ready, they're not totally soft, but they're getting there. So, and I come in and I stir it. Like, oh. So did I save the day or did I not save the day? So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. Shulchan Aruch in source number 11, in Bishlo, and it ends up being a Machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah. In Bishlo, V'kochavim, Kamachlo, Ben Drusoy, V'gomer Yisrael, Yesh Lassar. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's too late. Once is Machlo Ben Drusoy, once is a third or a half cooked, then a Jew's input into that cooking process is not enough. It's already called cooked, and therefore it's too late. It's called Bishul Akum. El Kenu Erev Shabbat or Erev Yantiv, El Hefsin Meruba. Okay, if it's a difficult situation, so then we would allow you. But says the Ramah, the Yesh Matirin B'chol Inyan, and that's how the Minhag Ashkenaz is. And therefore, as long as it's not fully cooked, it would be mutter, it would not be called Bishul Akum. And we could even do this L'chatzilah. If I know, I mean, you might not want to wait till so late, but if I come home and I see that it's not fully cooked yet, I don't have to be a machmer and say, it's thrown out. No, I could go and stir it, and according to the Ramah, it's L'chatzilah fine. That is not called Bishul Akum, it's called Bishul Yisrael.
Why don't we apply the concept of Rove, what we did in the first case?
What do you mean, Rove?
We said the way most people would eat it.
How,
like we did by an apple.
Okay, that's defining. How do you define raw? How do you define whether you have the heter? But this is rove in what way? How would you define
ben
it?
Most people are not ben drusai.
That's a good question. Why don't you go by that? But I guess the principle is that these Rishonim are looking at it as Ma'achol Ben Drusoy is called mevushal. It's called mevushal. The chetzer of the food is called mevushal. So you're right, but I'm guessing that's how they would define.
So how do all three of these issues, 1, 2, and 3, take care of Mishum Kasmus?
Because by all of these cases, as we gave the Sephardim by each one, number one, if it's something that's eaten raw, that's not called Bishul Akum, and we don't assume that they're... Again, you can't say the name of the day, you're not allowed to talk to them. They specifically targeted certain actions and certain foods, but you have to... It has to be that action that they answer. And it has to be Bishul, it has to be Akum. That's why you put all these together, and that's how it's...
If you say Mishum Kasmus...
But each of these, so we're not worried that they're going to invite us over if it's not a chashuv food. We're not worried if it's not called cooking. Chazal never meant that to be included in the Isser. Meaning if I can eat it, so it's not something significant that they're doing for me. Because I can eat this raw. So what are they doing for me? I'm not makir tov to them as much, you could say. And then the third one is not called Bishul Atom, it's called Bishul Yisrael, as long as there's some part. Let me just say one more detail, then I'll take the question. And that is, there's a very important machlokes, again, Machaber and the Ramah, and this comes up very lemaisa in Eretz Yisrael, where there's a large contingent of Sfardim, and that is, how far do you take this idea that as long as a Jew does part of the process, it's okay? Says the Shulchan Aruch in source number 12, Ein Shigiras, skipping the parentheses, Ein Shigiras Atanir Mo Elas Ela Bapas. Elbo b'shar ha'mispashlim ein shkiras atana below halachas h mala umorid ella hanacha dafka. What happens about putting on the fire? What about throwing in another log to the fire? Does that help? You're making the fire bigger. You're turning on the fire. But let's say I don't touch the food. I turn on the oven. I turn on the burner. I don't touch the food. The cleaning lady, whoever it is, they do everything. So does that help? The Shulchan Aruch says no. It does not help according to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says you have to do a maisa in the food itself. You have to stir it. You have to put the steak on the fire. You have to turn it over. You have to do an act in the food itself, which is a tremendous chumrah, as we'll see in a minute. The Jew has to put the pot onto the fire. Comes the Ramah, Haggah, the Yishchokin, Visfir, Lahu, the Halakha, Sa'esha, Achiti, Begachala, Mahani. Lenyan Bishon, Kamal, Lenyan Pas, Vechain, No Hagin. Says the Ramah, it's okay if a Jew turns on the fire, and there's a book to Rabbi Forrest about this. He says, even if a Jew sets a timer, let's say a Jew would set a timer, the somebody knows they're going out, and they want supper to be ready when the kids get home, so they can set a timer, so the Jew sets the timer, and therefore the fire will go on later on, and then the non-Jew will do the food. That's also Mutter according to the Ramah. Because as that's considered Bishul Yisrael, as long as the fire is made by the Jew.
Or even you can send a remote from New York to Hong Kong.
I already know, as long as it's not called Bishul Akum in that case. Right? We have to be, the Gzeirah Drabanan was on Bishul Akum. So if we say it's not called Bishul, so then it's not included in the Gzeirah. These aren't loopholes. We're trying to define the Gzeirah Drabanan. So we say this is all within Drabanan. So once the Rabbanu asked Bishul Akum, so it has to be Bishul and it has to be Akum. And we have to be subject to that distinction. Yeah?
You're defining Bishul, but isn't there a significant machlokas that are shown as the definition of Akum?
We're assuming that's by other halachos. Here we just think it means non-Jews. It doesn't have to be an Oved Avodah Zarah. The Meiri in a number of places in Shas says that there are other halachos. Talmud Torah L'Nachmer might apply to only specific non-Jews. Other halachos. But here we're talking about anybody who is called doesn't have a Jewish mother. That's how it will be defined here in the most broad sense. Okay. There is just another application of this halacha. If you continue reading the Ramah, in the same source that we were in, the end of line 12, the second to last line. V'yesh omrim, da'afilo lo chito Yisrael b'lo hishlach sham kisein, rak shehakusis hidlika ha'esh me'eshel Yisrael, shari. Even if, let's say, I didn't do anything to the fire, but I have a Jew lit a fire, and the non-Jew comes and takes a flame from that fire and then uses it for another fire, that's also mutter, says the Ramah. Because that's all, the source of that fire is a Jew, a halakha shel Yisrael, and therefore he had some part in the cooking process, and it's mutter. Where does this come up? It comes up by pilot lights. Pilot lights. The old types of ovens. Not the electric ones, but the old types of ovens where in the belly of the oven there's a little flame that's constantly on. If somebody has an oven with a pilot light and originally the Jew turned on that pilot light, then every time the burners go on and off, it's all lit from that pilot light. So if there's a pilot light, the Ramah says, and most poskim hold this is Lamaisa, that's mutter also. Forever, forevermore, as long as a Jew originally lights the pilot light, then this is continuing hadwaka from that light, and therefore it would be mutter. Again, most of the new ovens don't have a pilot light, therefore it wouldn't help. But all of this is part of the third requirement of Bishul Akum, and that is, for the Isra Bishul Akum, that it has to be completely al yidei Akum, and therefore if a Jew does any part of the process, the minhagim of the Ramah is to be mekum. Yeah?
Does the Jew have to be a Shomer Shabbos?
That's a big machlokas achronim also. The Pischei Tshuva discusses Yisrael Mumar. So that might connect to the two different reasons that Rashi quoted at the beginning of the shir. If it's Mishum Chasnus, then he should not be included in the Yisr. But if it's Mishum Shemi Yachalena Daratama, he could be. Well, it's machlokas achronim, so it's like Achili, we should be machmer. Yeah.
Does the fire that's being used, does the source fire need to be set for the purpose of cooking, or could it be
No, I don't think so. I think the Ramah even says, I feel below Kavana. I think that's the line that we skipped. Look at the line right before. So that's even without kavana. There is a kula. Yeah,
well, we're providing the gas. You're not lighting it, but
providing the gas.
You're buying the food.
Right, okay, but that's not part of the cooking process. If it's not part, if I cut up the vegetables, and then they're gonna, so that it has to be part of the cooking process. There is an interesting discussion, which in Eretz Yisrael, this is very lamaisa, because you have a focus, Shulchan Aruch and Mechaber. So okay, in America, most, the OU doesn't have to give Hachsherim only for, don't worry about, like on Pesach, Ochle Kitnios, it says on the packages. But here, Minagashka is the father of the Ramah, but in Eretz Yisrael, where a large, even majority maybe is fired, so what do you do about these cases? And the issue came up, and there are different Rabbanei HaRashit that told different shitos about this discussion of the Mechaber and the Ramah. Rav Bakshi Daron has a big chiddush in source number 13. He printed this in one of the Masorah journals, and he thought about this machlokas that we know, Mechaber and the Ramah, whether Hashlachas Kisim, lighting the fire, is enough. The problem was that in these factories in Taiwan, the tuna factories or some other factories, so it used to be that they have these humongous vats of food you have to push into these tremendous ovens, and then one little switch, you light the fire. So what happened? So you have to have a Jew, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it appears, you have to have a Jew, the mashpiach with the beard, and you have to head on and push these huge vats along with all the workers, right? Because according to the Shulchan Aruch, just lighting the fire is not enough. So that's how certain Rabbanei HaRashit felt. In Achinami, you have to have the Mashkiach because it only has to be on top. But it says Rav Bakshi Daron is a kula, and he says it's even, after he says it's kula, he says it's Mufurish in the Avdi Nezer, the Sachat Shavarim. Says that Rav Bakshi Daron, maybe even the Shulchan Aruch would be Modeh in a certain case. When does the Shulchan Aruch say that putting, lighting the fire is not good enough? If the food is not on the fire yet, just lighting the fire. And then a Jew does that, that's not good enough. If the non-Jew then puts the food onto the fire. But suggests Rav Bakshi Daron, and again, it's an Avnei Nezer also, if the food is already on the fire, and there's no fire yet, so it's not going anywhere, there's no cooking going on, and then the Jew turns on the fire, so that even the Shulchan Aruch, says the Bakshi Daron, would be Modeh, that it would be good enough. So this was a major discussion in the postgame a couple of years ago, but that was the cooler of Rav Bakshi Daron he gave to the Kashrus organization, that if the food is already on the fire, there's no fire yet, if it's put on the place where there will be a fire, and then you light the fire, then even according to the Mechaber, even according to the Minhag Sfard, it would be allowed to just turn on the flame. Okay, that is a detail in the discussion of the third aspect of Bishul Akel. Okay, so just to summarize so far, and then we're going to get to some, in the last 5 or 7 minutes, some miscellaneous Bishul Akel shilas. We spoke about the Isser of Bishul Akel, and we mentioned there are three major ingredients to the Isser, and one needs all three for it to be Usser. Any one of them would be okay. It has to be a food that's not eaten raw, it has to be a food that's chashuv, that's considered Ola al Shulchan Malachim, and number three, it has to be considered the entire process as done by the non-Jew, Bishul Akel. But any, if there's any input by the Jew, it would be Mutter.
Gas ovens, if you move into an apartment and we don't know who was there previously, if that pilot is always
on. So turn it off and turn it on.
But the pilot's always on.
But you could, I think you can turn it off and turn it on. You can blow it out and turn it on again. Blow it out and turn it on again. Okay, a few miscellaneous shilas and then we'll
don't do it if you don't know how to do it.
Oh, right, the excellent. Okay, well, the sheriff will be caught nefesh next week. Okay. Number one. What if there is a mixture? So these are like 4 or 5 miscellaneous shilas of Bishul Akel. What if there is a mixture? You have a food that you're making, but it's meat and vegetables. Some of the food is eaten raw, some of the food is not eaten raw, some of it's Ola Shulchan Malachim, some of it's not Ola Shulchan Malachim. So what's the halacha by that? Are you mechalek? Oh, the vegetables I can eat, but the steak I can't eat? So the Shulchan Aruch says you go by the roof. Shulchan Aruch in source number 14. This is all in Sinai Kuf Yud Gimel, the beginning of Chelek Beis of Yeruday. Unless you have a mixture of Bishlam Ovid Kachavim, so then you go by the Iker. Im Iker Midavar Sheishvam Shul Bishlam Ovid Kachavim Aser Vimav Mutter. So generally you go by the Iker. So if you have a meat and vegetables, so we'll call it the meat, the Iker, says the Shulchan Aruch. But this is very lamaisa for a case that I mentioned at the beginning, coffee. The Gilyon Marsha and the Shulchan Aruch and the Aruch HaShulchan talk about, that's why there is no Bishul Akel by coffee. Because the Iker ingredient is water. Any type of drink or soup, let's say a powdered soup, or a powdered drink. There's no Bishul Akel by any of those. That's called the tarobes, but the Iker ingredient is water, and water you drink raw. Water you drink without cooking.
Is
So that's why you have to be worried about other things on the spouts, maybe in the coffee places, that there's non-kosher toppings that might come out. But in terms of the Isser Bishul Akum, there's no Bishul Akum when it comes to coffee, says the Gilyon Marsha, says the Aruch HaShulchan here that I gave you, says the Debesina Rebbe, the Ber Moshe, talks about a vending machine, where on the top of the next page, Torah 16, the Ber Moshe Stern from Borough Park, the Debesina Rebbe, he says vending machines are mutter. All of those are mutter. Why? Because the Iker ingredient is water. And the Shulchan Aruch says, when you have a mixture of different ingredients, you go by the Iker. And by any type of drink, any type of soup, powdered soup, the Iker is Mayim, and therefore it is mutter.
You mentioned Starbucks.
Yeah.
Do you need a bar sign or no?
So I've spoken to a number of poskim about stop going into a Starbucks. That's the only thing they make. So the poskim that I've spoken to, again, this is just off the record, even though it's on the tape. So the poskim that I've spoken to, nobody really wanted to tell me, fine, go, wonderful. So is it awesome? No. So again, it's the only thing they make, and nothing else comes out of the spouts, and you know all the ingredients. So the minute I go, a lot of people want to be mako. But again, you have to know if there are certain toppings, or there are certain espresso things. So you have to know. But again, Meikar Hadin, at least in terms of the Bishul Akum part of it, there's no problem. Okay, number one. Number two, there's another interesting question, Bidyevet. And that is, there are two Machlokas Rishonims. We're Machmir by both Machlokasim. We're going to talk about it in a minute. But we'll see, maybe if we have both of these ingredients, we'll be Meikar Bidyevet. So what am I talking about? There's a Machlokas, Tosfos in Avodazara Daf Lamed Ches, in Source 17, quotes a Ravid, where the Ravid says that the whole Isra Bishul Akum is only when the Naju is cooking outside of your house, in their own house. But if a Naju is cooking in your house, then the whole issue of Chasus is not an issue. The whole issue of Chasus is going to be invited over to their house. But if they're cooking in your house, by Yishol Yisrael, says the Ravid, there's no halacha of Bishul Akum. There's no Isra. You can invite a Naju to come into your house and cook. That's what the Ravid says. Second line in Source 17, Omar HaRavid, Devad Ishlachos Asr Chachamim Kishovi Kochavim Evashlam Bebeso. That's what the Ravid says. We do not accept this lahalacha. We say no. It applies even by Yishol Yisrael. I could be watching the non-Jew do it in my house. It's still us. That's one machlokas Rishonim, which we are machmer in. A second machlokas Rishonim, today is quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Source 18, and that is, what if it's a worker of mine? If it's a worker of mine, then also there are some Rishonim that say there's no Isser Bishul Akum. My worker? My worker is never an issue. If it's my neighbor or somebody who's a colleague of mine on the same level, but my servant, my worker, so then there's some Rishonim that say there's no Isser Bishul Akum. That was never the intended population of the Rabbanan. And again, we're Machmir. We're Machmir, no, even if somebody works for you, so then it is still Usser. So that's what we paskin.
Why are we Machmir if the issue is Chasmus?
The issue is because we're kind of a low plug. Low plug, we would say. According to the Rishonim that argued, they would say this, we don't make distinctions. We can't make such minute distinctions between the population. We answered all non-Jews, like the question that we said before. The question is, what about Bidyevet? What if somebody has a maid, a housekeeper, somebody who works for them in their house that did something? So, you're not supposed to do that. But what about Bidyevet? So Rabbi Forrest Paskins in his Sefer, Source 19, in that case, you don't have to throw out the food. You can eat the food. Because there's a sheet of Tehuya that says if it's in your house, it's mutter. And because there's a sheet of Tehuya that says that the workers, everybody can eat the food to the end. That's what Rabbi Forrest Paskins. Rabbi Willis does not like this heter. Rabbi Willis says he's very a makpid that, you know, if people know that they have a way out afterwards, then the whole bishlaka is going to fall to the wayside. Oh, if I get home late, I can still eat it. It's okay. They're working for me. It's in my house. So he argues with this psak. He says, what, 0 + 0 = 0? Right, it's 2 sheet of Tehuyas. Two sheets of tchuyah, so we don't pass it like either of them. So that's it. You don't pass it in that way, and therefore you have to throw out the food. That's how Rabbi Willis assumes against this Rabbi Force. So that is, again, second point in miscellaneous. Number one was the mixture. Number two was the 2 sheets of tchuyah. So we finished in 2 minutes. Number three, how does one define cooking? There are different kinds of cooking processes. What about, like we mentioned before, barbecuing? What about roasting? What about steaming? What about smoking? So a microwave, we'll talk about it in a minute. So there's so the Shulchan Aruch in source number, where are we, 20? Source number 20 talks about salting. We know in Yoredeya there's the concept Maliach Kiroseach, or Kavish Kimavusha, all these halakas, soaking in vinegar or pickling. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Dach Shemalcho B'kochavim U'peir Sha'ashna Nach Shehechirim La'achila, smoking, Harelu Mutarin, Demaloch Eina Kiroseach V'gzeir Azu. Salting is not called bishul. Smoking or That is not called bishul. The Ramah's washing here is crucial. Gam kavish inika mavushal. Delo asru el bishul shel esh. Only bishul of fire. That's the only thing that's included. So just two issues related to this. Number one, what about steaming? When you cook something by blowing hot steam into it. This comes up. The discussions are about tuna fish. The way that they cook tuna fish is they shoot hot steam into the, this is for the factories. They shoot hot steam into the cans, and that's the way it's cooked. The question is there a bishul, do you need a mashgiach doing that shooting or not? Assuming tuna is a fancy food and assuming that it fits all the other requirements. So this is a major machlokes. Some say that this metzias is wrong. Some say, no, there's a little hot water in the bottom of the can that's cooked. So maybe it's not steaming. Maybe that's really cooking the water, which is cooking the tuna. But either way, if we could say it's just steaming, so then maybe we could say it's not called bishul. But that's for the factories. What's the maisa for us? Microwaves. What do you say about microwaves? So Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Schechter and I saw, I think Rabbi Heinemann also, they're all make up on microwaves. Therefore, if you want to tell the non-Jewish women in the house, use the microwave. 100% mutter. That's not called bishul. V'hilcha Shabbat amayin abidaraisa, or Moshe says maybe, as a subject of matter, maybe it is, because it's the derech b'zman hazeh, but the Ramaz Lashon is Eish. Ramaz Lashon is Al Eish. So if it's a din of Al Eish, so there are a number of poskim that are makel. Again, this is not Lukul Yama, Rabbi Forsen the Sefer is machmir by microwaves. He said, that's called bishul b'zman hazeh. So therefore, there's a machlokas about it, so that's a discussion. And finally, just the last halacha, and then Rabbi Rosenzweig will start, and that is, what about Kalim? What about the Isra of Kalim? Is there an Isra of Kalim by Bishul Akam? Let's say Bishul Akam happened. Fine, I'm not going to eat the food. But the Kasher by Kalim? So the Shulchan Aruch has two days about this. It's a Machlokas Rishonim. In Source 22, the last source, the Aruch HaShulchan explains that gives the Svaris. We don't have time to talk about the Svaris. But he quotes two days. We're generally Machmir, but the Shulchan Aruch says, even if you're going to say it Asher's Kalim, it will never Asher Kalim to the point that it can't be Kasher. I mean, there's certain types of Kalim, frying pans, others that you can't, you know, something happens, but if it's real trafe, so then you can't kasher it. The Shulchan Aruch says you can always kasher it by Bishul Akam. This is only a Drabanan, and therefore will always allow kashering, even if it's chayrus, even if it's usually something that's not kasherable, even though we're machmir by kalim, but we will allow hagala, we will allow the kashering process of the kalim. So again, this is just an overview of Bishul Akam, just to summarize for a minute, and then I'll take questions afterwards. I just want to, don't want to take Rabbi Rosenzweig's time. The reason for Bishul Akam, we saw Rashi and Abodazar, it's in Chasnus. We had the other Rashi. We discussed on the next Lumdus behind those two Rashis, but the real issue is Chasnus. Three requirements for Bishul Akam. Number one, it has to be not be able to be eaten raw. Number two, it has to be Olal Shulchan Alachim. It has to be a Chash of food. Number three, the Jew has to do the entire process. So if the Jew stirs it, the Jew puts the Akam has to do the entire process. If a Jew has any inputs, then it is not a problem. We saw the different details of the Machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah regarding how much input does the Jew have to add. Then we just spoke about a few various miscellaneous halachas. What about mixtures? What about a worker of a Jew inside a Jew's house? What about Kalim? And what about microwaves? And what about what is called bishul? So Beis Hashem will have a chance in the future to discuss more topics, bahalacha, ubahagada. Okay, last two questions.
How about warming up?
Warming up. So that relates to the Machlo Ben Drusoi. So we said that if it's already cooked, so if a Jew does the cooking, warming up is not called bishul. So it works with kula also. Okay, so just warming up. If something is cooked, a lot of frozen foods, fish sticks. Get any frozen food that is previously cooked. If it already has a hefsher on it, then the OU took care of it, so we don't have to worry about it. So then we could just warm it up.
If you leave an electric oven on, let's say on low the whole day,
yeah,
that's already considered.
That's fine. If that they do, right, that is fine.
Right. Are there any important differences between Bishul Akam and Pas Akam? Other than
major differences. Tosis already says that that the Pas Akam never took hold in Klal Yisrael. Okay, right. Let's take more questions after.